One of this year's biggest hits is HBO's True Detective, a police procedural that manages to be both gritty and poetic. Kind of helps that this season stars Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. Steve Paulson recently sat down with the show's creator, writer, and executive producer, Nick Pizzolatto.
Nick, tell us about True Detective. How would you describe the basic premise of the show?
It's a story that uses the popular genre of police investigation to conduct a more nuanced metaphysical investigation into its characters and their world.
So, I mean, this is so interesting because, I mean, you're using, in a way, the conventions of the crime procedural. I mean, the whole business of trying to track down the killer without really quite fitting into that genre.
I think that was definitely one of the basic structural goals of the series, was to use the machinery of the procedural to get at what interests me, which is the dissection of character and motivation and a world vision.
And for a show that is ostensibly about searching for a serial killer, there aren't that many dead bodies, and the killer almost seems incidental at times, which is pretty unusual for a crime show, I would think.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think that's just an expression of the show's values. It's the horror that lies in the everyday. There's a way, and I think this is right, that in True Detective, the world itself is the crime.
What do you mean by that, the world itself is the crime?
Well, I mean that these two men and their world are a coagulation of history, of historical crimes and culture. One of the functions of all the granular details in background and in setting is to suggest this corruption at the root of the world, this poisoned garden. And the poison at the root of the world is humanity, which is also its only vehicle for meaning.
Humanity has somehow corrupted the world?
Well, the first story I ever heard was a noir story called The Book of Genesis. You know?
You call that a noir story?
Well, you know, if you just think about it, there's sex, there's palace intrigue, there's sexual betrayal, there's vengeance, and then there's two brothers, and one of them kills the other one, and this is the first two pages. That's the first two pages. So it's always been suggested in our oldest literature that we're living after some kind of spiritual or metaphysical fall.
I contemplate the moment in the garden, the idea of allowing your own crucifixion.
But you're not a Christian, so what do you believe?
I think human consciousness was a tragic misstep in evolution. We became too self-aware. Nature created an aspect of nature separate from itself. We are creatures that should not exist by natural law. We are things that labor under the illusion of having a self, this accretion of sensory experience and feeling, programmed with total assurance that we are each somebody, when in fact, everybody's nobody.
Well, and there's violence, at least an atmosphere of violence that permeates True Detective. I mean, obviously there's the murder sort of at the center of the story, but even, you know, more than that, your two main characters, the two detectives, they're violent men.
I mean, they're violent men.
They live in a violent world, and it plays out in their personal relationships. It plays out in the social structures that you see around,
yes,
at the police station. Are you trying to draw parallels between sort of that everyday level of violence and then the violent crime that they're investigating?
Absolutely. Well, the parallels right off the bat are between emotional violence, the violence of broken trusts, and the physical violence enacted on women and children in the background of the series, sort of just off screen. That's what everyone's averting their eyes to, right?
So at one point, Marty Hart asks his partner, Rust Cole, do you ever wonder if you're a bad man? And Rust replies, the world needs bad men. We keep the other bad men from the door. Do you think that's true?
I think there's dangerous people in the world, and the dangerous people are often called upon to combat them. But I think Cole's point goes more towards, Cole wouldn't say anybody wasn't a bad man.
And the suggestion is that violence is part of, particularly this culture of masculinity in this part of Louisiana along the
Yeah, Bayou. I mean, you know, so much of this is where I'm from. There was always a consistent language of violence, at least when I was coming of age and growing up. And I think that is probably common anywhere you have a large population of largely powerless people living inside a system and under structures that they don't understand and haven't seen the benefit of.
Now, there's another theme that I would say runs throughout True Detective, and it's about how we construct narratives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're constantly going back and forth in time between 1995, when these detectives first get on this case investigating this murder, and then 17 years later in 2012, after both have left the police force, they're talking about what happened. They're describing what happened all those years ago, and we're not sure whether we should believe them. Why did you construct the story this way?
You know, that Faulkner line that the past isn't over, it isn't even past. I've always felt that to be true. And if there was a way to juxtapose those things against one another and to use the idea of the interrogation, the police interrogation, it's another trope, right? But we're going to use it as a vehicle to dissect narrative and motivation and character.
This is going to happen again. Nor it's happened before. This is his vision. Her body is a paraphilic love map.
How's that?
An attachment of physical lust to fantasies and practices forbidden by society.
You get that from one of your books?
I did.
You got a chapter in one of those books on jumping to conclusions? You attach an assumption to a piece of evidence, you start to bend the narrative to support it, prejudice yourself.
Wait and see on the ID.
Well, it seems to be, I mean, you're dealing with truth-telling here, which
yes.
is reflected in the title of your show,
Thank
True
you
Detective.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes.
I mean, and truth at several levels. I mean, there's the search for the true killer. There's truth and honesty in personal relationships. There's how we tell a story, whether the stories we tell are true. And, I mean, the suggestion is we're kind of always fudging the truth to some degree.
As much as we might try to strip ourselves of illusions, what you're ultimately left with is the exact poverty of your knowledge, that you know very little about your situation as a human being on the planet Earth. And what you do know sounds like a noir story.
Yeah.
You're doomed.
Well, I have to ask you about Rust Cole, one of your two main characters, played brilliantly by Matthew McConaughey in the series.
Yes.
He's some kind of combination of master criminal investigator and interrogator and existential philosopher. And I got the impression that he's the one character who's willing to stare straight into the face of the absurdity of life without blinking, but he's also haunted. Where did you get the idea for this character?
Well, he was real close under the skin. You know, when Russ started talking, there was never much hesitation between keystrokes.
There's a lot of you in Rust.
In his intolerances, the things he is intolerant of, I would say so. But, you know, I've said before that he's certainly not a nihilist. He'd be the most unsuccessful nihilist in history. If anything, everything is overwrought with meaning for Cole. You know, he's hypersensitive. And in that way, what he's talking about in the first episode, when you're meditating on the idea of your own crucifixion, is that for him to wake up and encounter the world and do this job is a form of self-crucifixion. His complaints aren't very different from Job's complaints.
Yeah.
And Job's complaint was that he was a character in a story and he didn't like how the story was being told. Right?
Now, the other thing I have to ask you about is the setting of True Detective, which is also similar to the setting of your novel Galveston. I mean, it's set in the South. I mean, True Detective.
It's almost the exact same setting.
Yeah. And we see oil rigs offshore. We see a lot of pictures of the working poor. I mean, the backdrop is there. I mean, it's almost like another character in the series.
Yes.
Why is the land so important to you?
Landscape has just always affected me on a sensory, personal level a great deal. growing up in these areas, I always felt the landscape was almost oppressive to me. It was so flat, and all the trees had been cut down, and the only thing on the horizons was a refinery pumping smoke into the sky. These things were as much a part of me as my personal tastes. Henry James said, landscape is character. And I've always felt that way.
Well, I get the sense that your characters are kind of trapped in mm-hmm. this landscape. I mean, you got out, but you keep writing about it.
Well,
but
yeah.
your characters don't get out.
Well, yeah. And we're all trapped. And the first thing that traps us is our ego, which separates us from the rest of the world and makes us think that we're all a bunch of different things instead of one thing. And then the cages just sort of multiply from there. And then you lay on top of that the narratives of family, the narratives of God and country. And this is before you even get to the landscape, mind you. And then the landscape with its economic depression and its lack of upward mobility and its lack of opportunities can be oppressive.
Do you feel like you're still in a cage?
Yeah, sure. Of course. I mean, I imagine I'll feel like that until I pass away, and then I won't feel anything. It will always live inside you, and it will never go away. Where you come from will always live inside you. And you need to be careful not to hate that place, I think.
That was Nick Pizzolatto, the creative genius behind HBO's True Detective. You'll find Steve's extended conversation with him on our website at ttbook.org.